Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Christianity emphasizes, of course, the salvation of the soul of man, remission of sins, and the entrance into heaven eventually. But Christianity does not deal simply with the life after this one. Man is body, but man is also spirit. And this life is where the Christian living takes place. For the next couple of lessons, I want us to emphasize some things that pertain to being a Christian. Those who are Christians need to understand that we have duties and responsibilities as a follower of Jesus Christ. He is our example, and we are to walk in His footsteps. And those who are not Christians, if we could only persuade them to appreciate the benefits of Christianity, and not only in the life that is to come, but in this life as well. And we're going to study the subject of doing good unto others, because this is a part of Christian living. Now, I want to read to us, to begin with, from James, the second chapter, beginning with verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I feel sure we all heard at one time or another that it's better to see a sermon than even to hear one. Why, this simply means that good words are well, and they are fine, but words, apart from works, are nothing. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus teaches that his people to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and like a city set on a hill. In other words, our influence is to radiate all around, and that to the glory of God. And our deeds, if they be righteous, are to bring glory to our heavenly Father. But to fulfill our mission, we must be examples before others, not only in saying what ought to be said, but also, friend, in doing what ought to be done. Now, it's a sad reality, possibly, that many of us who profess to be Christians, we do not practice our faith as diligently as we ought. But Christ found many people like that doing his personal ministry, and he employed scathing language in condemning their hypocrisy in Matthew chapter 23 and is recorded. And while we may not accept as truth that we are to be the followers of Christ in order to be in enter heaven, we are convinced that this involves adding works to our words. Faith only does not save. Do you realize that the only time the Bible mentions faith and works is that we are not saved by faith only? And yet there'll be denominational clergymen that will get before people and tell them you're saved by faith only. Well, James was an inspired man, guided by the Holy Spirit. These denominational clergymen are not. And James says, we're not saved by faith only. What right does a man have to contradict the Holy Spirit? Can one be a follower of the Lord, as we are taught to be, unless he does like Christ says that we ought to do? Are we not to talk like Christ and to act like Christ? Luke said he recorded what Jesus began both to do and to teach in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. And with these introductory remarks before us, friend, let us make application of them in the realm of benevolence. And our subject again, doing good unto others. Now, we can define the attitude of benevolence as a disposition to do good. I think we all would agree, if we understand the life of Christ, that Jesus was a benevolent person. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, when the Apostle Peter was preaching Christ to the household of Cornelius, he pointed out how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Can any except a benevolent person teach such a lesson as the Good Samaritan that Jesus taught? Where failure to assist in need was condemned, and the lifting up of the fallen and helping those who were in need was commended. It was Jesus who showed God's blessings to be upon those who rendered assistance to the needy. In Matthew chapter 25, the judgment scene, there were those who were attended to that were in need, and they heard the words, "Come ye blessed of my Father." And there were others who refused or did not and neglected the doing of good to others, and they were told to depart from me. In this same passage, Jesus revealed God's wrath against those who fail to do merciful works. Do not his miracles of mercy and compassion and healing and helping, his words of sympathy alongside his deeds of relief, do not they reveal a benevolent master that we worship? And friend, let us be impressed that benevolence is one of the God-giving injunctions that transgress dispensational lines. Now, Abraham in the patriarchal age was kindly toward others. The Jews who lived in the Mosaic age and under the Mosaic law, they were commanded to be benevolent. We see in both the Old and the New Testament, this is a repeated theme. Let me read to you a few passages of Scripture, as time might permit. In Leviticus chapter 25, "And if thy brother be waxen poor, and falling in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 140, "I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor." Again, "The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widows, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down." Now, God described as the Father is described as the Father of the fatherless in Psalm 68. He is described as the refuge of the poor in Psalm 14. Zechariah wrote, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute judgment, show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." And David wrote, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor," in Psalm chapter 14. The wise man Solomon said that the show of mercy, that's the way to happiness, Proverbs 14:21. Furthermore, not only do we have positive pronouncements urging benevolence on our part, but we have expressions of cursing against those who refuse to be benevolent. Listen to them. Back during the Mosaic Age, from Deuteronomy 27, "Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, the widow." You see, the fatherless and the widow, they are in need. And there are those who will not help those in need. In Exodus chapter 22, "Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If they afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with a sword, and your wives will be widows and your children fatherless." Well, when we read passages like that, surely as we observe God's attitude toward those of the past who were benevolent and his attitude toward those who were not benevolent, plus the recognition of that great and marvelous benevolent attitude and action of Jesus Christ, should we not be sufficiently motivated to be benevolent and to do good unto others? And why are people not benevolent as they ought to be? Well, there may be a number of reasons, but maybe one of them is we're just not sufficiently aware that such a work is really our responsibility. Did you ever see the phrase, "I am third"? Well, what does that mean? Well, it's really an abbreviation of the priorities of God. God is first, others are second, I am third. Now, there are times when I should head the list, when I have certain responsibilities. We think of the responsibility, however, toward those in need. Too many of us are willing to let others be involved, while we ourselves don't really do anything about it. We have individual duties in this area, and as the Lord's church, we have collective duties in this area to relieve those who are in need. When Christ rules and reigns in the heart of an individual, we'll go about doing good to others. This is not only a duty, but friend, it is a privilege. It is something that belongs to Christians. Christians need to understand this, and those who are not Christians need to understand this is a part of being a Christian. It's not just the duty of the church or the government or somebody else. The old adage, charity begins at home, that's very relevant in being a Christian. But possibly we're not as benevolent as we ought to be because we wait until we think we can do some great thing. Little efforts don't bring recognition and praise like big things do. So we wait until we can make a big splash, maybe. Well, Naaman, back in 2 Kings chapter 5, he was somewhat like that. He had a chance for healing because the command giving him, he didn't want to obey. It called for humility and obedience. His servant said, "If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, thou would have done it." Well, the big things are nothing more than a combination of small things, and each one of them is important. Your best, standing alone, may not appear to be too significant, but your best and my best and the best of others will accomplish what needs to be done, and we must be sure to do our part in doing good unto others. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd, and until next time.